Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Doug Godfrey and Catherine Hoffer of the Nightlife Task Force. These are two of the people that help manage all the late-night activity that happens downtown on the weekend, including organizing the annual Safe Semester program at the beginning of September. School's back in session in just a few weeks, so what better time to learn how all this comes together? The Nightlife Task Force and managing the nightlife is the subject of this week's Politicast, but first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card. And all that money goes to maintaining a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you can pay to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of city council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. And now on with the show. What is the Nightlife Task Force? Who's a part of it? And how do they address the issue of thousands of people that pass through the downtown every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night during the school year? These are questions I was looking to answer when I reached out to the city to put me in touch with a couple of the members of the Nightlife Task Force, and I got Doug Godfrey, Manager of Bylaw Compliance and Security with the City of Guelph, and Catherine Hoffer, Manager of Off-Campus Living at the University of Guelph. The city and the university are two of several stakeholders that make up the task force, which is designed to address community concerns about the crowds that pass through the downtown every weekend and recommend measures to promote a clean and safe environment for responsible partying in not just the core, but around the city. Of course, the core is where most of the action is, so many establishments concentrated across a couple of blocks, and hence the reason why Safe Semester was created. It's easy to think back a few years ago, and the annual list of loud complaints about what happens downtown on the weekend, and while it's not always smooth sailing, it's hard to argue that Safe Semester hasn't made it smoother sailing for all involved. So on this Politicast, I talked to Godfrey and Hoffer about the task force, the problems it solved, the ones that still exist, and what it takes to run a Safe Semester. I caught up with Doug Godfrey and Catherine Hoffer at City Hall. So, Doug Godfrey and Catherine Hoffer, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
And you are two of the members of the Late Night Task Force, which is a body that looks at how to, well, perhaps you can explain how what the Nightlife Task Force does.
Well, the Late Night Task Force is really focused on the entertainment scene downtown. I would say particularly from September through to the end of the spring season. And there's a real focus on the weekends. There's Project Safe Semester that Guelph Police operate, and with that there's a lot of the way downtown is set up is a little bit different during those weeks. So there's road closures, there's porta potties, there's the late night bus that the Central Student Association and the Graduate Student Association support. And so there's a lot of different services. So the late night task force is really about different stakeholders coming together and talking about the needs to make downtown a positive place to be and to see how we can do that through the year.
And so you are two of the stakeholders, or represent two of the stakeholders. Catherine, you're from the U of G off-campus.
Right, off-campus living.
Off-campus living. And Doug, you are bylaw.
Correct, so representing the operations department.
Right. So who else is a part of the Nightlife Task Force?
There are a lot of folks.
There's Guelph Police Services have representatives, the downtown board, some of the establishments downtown have representatives as well as transit.
Yep, and city councilors and public health actually joined recently as well.
Public health is a new addition.
Yes.
What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, they're really interested in looking at alcohol use downtown and different messages around that. So
okay.
Yeah.
So that, you know, perhaps having tens of thousands of people in the core is sending a positive message that alcohol is a good time, perhaps too much of a message that alcohol is a good time?
Well, that's a good question. I think that public health always has an interest in the messaging, and they've recently, or the past couple of years, have been part of an alcohol committee on campus. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're more interested in just being a player rather than coming in with a specific concern that they're trying to address. Okay. So they're really interested in being involved in that that conversation.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, I realize you are both relative new members of the task force, but in just preparing for this podcast, I was looking back at a lot of Mercury articles about people complaining about the core and the noise and the students and the traffic and the trash, and it seems that there has been a change in the last 10 years. You go back 10 years, and these articles are printed practically every September in massive numbers and in terms of letters to the editor and that sort of thing. In 2015, by the time we get around to 2015, that is not so much a frequently heard of complaint anymore. And I'm wondering, do you think that the task force and the organization that's been done around this, that programs like Safe Semester, has that made an impact? What I'm wondering is, have the people changed in terms of the traffic coming into the downtown, or has management managed to change how that's perceived?
I think the same number of people are still coming downtown. I think the task force has done a great job in identifying possible solutions to some of these issues. And the other thing is that they don't just implement an item, whether it be Safe Semester or the road closures. It's something that once it's done, there's a debrief. How can we improve it next year? What can we do next year to address any of the issues that have arisen? So we're always looking at it, reinventing it, and trying to improve it. So I think overall, the task force, and I got to give them kudos. I've just been on it recently, but over the years, they've done a number of, they've implemented a number of solutions to some of the issues facing downtown Guelph.
I also think that there is a shift in perspective amongst mm-hmm. the downtown task force, and I would say looking back that shift came, well, Ian Finley was and Marty Williams have been big players in saying, you know, let's look at downtown from a positive perspective of, we're not going to be able to stop people coming from downtown, and we don't want to stop people coming from downtown. Mm-hmm. So how can we make this a positive experience for everybody and include everybody in and I think that shifted as well. Brian Larkin, again, when he came in as police chief, there was a shift of, okay, so how can we make this a positive entertainment experience for everyone? Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that we see, like the road closures, have really made for a pedestrian-friendly environment, less conflict, and just a more positive space for everyone to enjoy downtown.
I think part of that is what you're talking about is rephrasing it as the entertainment district, which says that this is something that we've kind of done purposefully. That this is an area we've set up and said, okay, everybody come on down on Friday night, Saturday night, enjoy a drink, enjoy the company of friends, versus to what maybe how it was perceived before. It's just there's a whole lot of bars and a walk's distance from each other, and perhaps not calling an entertainment district suggests a bit of anarchy in that, and anarchy follows.
I guess a little bit of the you know, when you see graffiti, if you leave the graffiti up, it continues. If you address it, the situation becomes better. And I think it's a little bit of, you know, if we turn this into a positive and if we communicate those messages and make it a safe environment for everyone, that really is what gives, I think, the program the success that it has now. Right. In the task force, yeah.
I do wonder also... You know, you said, Doug, that the numbers haven't changed, but there has been a little bit of a shift in terms of, in the last 10 years, that the younger first-year university students can't be a part of that scene because they are 17, 18, versus 10 years ago when they were 18, 19.
And I'm not saying the numbers, I don't know what the numbers actually are, they've been changed. I'm just saying that there's still people coming downtown on Friday, Saturday evenings, enjoying themselves as it's been done in the past. Some of the issues that with the amount of people down there, the road closures now are making it pedestrian friendly, as Catherine says, which has alleviated some of the conflicts between vehicles and pedestrians, you know, in the same area. That was an initiative that was implemented approximately
three to four years ago.
And, you know, it's something that we look at putting in each year with the Guelph Police.
Mm-hmm. Do we know, off the top of your heads, feel free to say you don't know the numbers, but in terms of how many people we're talking about, just in terms of the first couple of weeks of September, which tends to be the busiest, how many are we talking about?
I couldn't say either. Put on the numbers. I wouldn't know the numbers off.
But it would be reasonable to say probably 10,000, 15,000.
That sounds high to me.
Okay.
Because I know that the bar seats downtown are not that high.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. So I would say in the thousands, but I don't think we hit 10.
Yeah. In terms of perhaps the investment we're talking about too, because closing off streets is no small thing. And I do remember reading some of those past articles, people were concerned. They're like, you know, we're putting in all this money to manage bar traffic. Why aren't the bars paying more? And leaving that debate aside, but in terms of the budgetary effect, what does that look like? How much money are we talking about too?
I think that's one of the successes of the task force, is that the stakeholders that came together looked at how to do this with minimal cost. So there's adjusting schedules. I mean, Doug can speak to road closures. And
from a bylaw perspective, the same bylaw officers are working just then. Now there's the tools and there's the ability to just make it a little bit more efficient. Right. The signage is put up, at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of September, so it goes up and it remains up until, say, semester's over. So there's that education period. I find that what we're probably doing is it's made it more efficient. I don't have the actual budget numbers in front of me today, but I would say that we've created more, done more efficiencies. The number of vehicles that we removed when it was first started up was high, and now we're seeing a significant decrease. So even the public themselves and the residents are becoming more familiar with the program, and it's become more efficient each year.
So there's an expectation now that you can't park on McDonald on Saturday night, and that you'll get towed or ticketed. And I imagine the messaging is, I mean, communications is always seems to be a difficulty whenever the city does anything. Not that it's anyone, I don't think it's anyone's fault in particular. It's just there's so many ways to get information now. But I'm sure that doing this year after year has made that easier, and it's made the job of bylaw easier.
So we look at our communication plan each year and try to redevelop it with our partners, like the University of Guelph and the police and our own communication staff here. And each year we look at it, how can we improve it, and do so. Even down to the point is, what do the signs state on? Are the average motorists able to understand what we're trying to stay here with the state, with the signs on the street, and we've improved them over the years as well as our communications plan, and that's actually something that we're developing right now or finalizing for this September.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, I wanted to ask you specifically about the expectations of responsibility on the part of the university, because I guess because it's September and that's when school's starting, there's a lot of there's a lot of weight on the U of G, I guess, because all these young people are coming in to go to school, not necessarily living on campus, but are in Guelph because that's where their school is. But I know firsthand from my own experiences downtown and working the late night, is that there are actually a lot of people who come in from out of town. That because of our particular entertainment scene, or because of particular establishments even, that it seems to be, speaking as a former U of G student myself, a bit of an albatross around the neck of U of G students, that if there's a problem downtown at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night, the university invariably gets blamed because somebody thinks it's a U of G student, and it might not be.
I think that we have had that in the past. I do think, though, the community, with more awareness around what we do during the fall semester in downtown, I think the community and the discussion that we've had with the task force, there are a lot of people who come in from out of town. I don't feel from as an employee of the university that that same pressure is there. I mean, I think there always is. Someone was 21 years old and there was a bar fight downtown. Let's associate that person with the university. But right. I think that within the media and with Guelph Police, that the messages are getting out that these aren't always University of Guelph students. And we work really hard with our students, particularly around the late night bus of what's appropriate behavior, that the late night bus, because it's funded through student fees, is a contract with Guelph Transit, that it can be discontinued at any time if there's an issue with the bus. So I think the students have an awareness of that and the responsibility that comes with that. So I think in general there have been fewer issues in that regard, and I think the setup of downtown has led to fewer issues as well.
Is there anything you do or off-campus living does to say to students, this is kind of what's expected to you when you're out and about on town?
So we do a lot of communication. This year in particular, we're actually launching an I Am a Griffin campaign. So we did some promotion around it last year, and we have a pledge, and it's based on five commitments. We'll see if I can get all five. It's respectful, caring, determined, authentic. And there's one other in there because I knew I wouldn't get all five off the top of my head in this pressure situation.
Four out of five
is pretty good. And we're really working to communicate those to students this fall with the launch of the campaign, and talking about not so much that these are expectations in the community, but this is what being a Griffin, this is what being a University of Guelph student is about. This is what we expect of each other. And so it doesn't just mean you go out in the community and you need to remember these five commitments and you need to act on those. This is who we are, and we're trying to send that messaging, and we hope that that will have an impact on students in their, who they are on campus and who they are in the community and who they are at home, and that they're proud of representing the University of Guelph in the community, and that means something to them.
I wanted to bring this up because I used to work not too far down the road from the ranch, but I do wonder if we do forget the ranch sometimes, because it's on Woodlawn Road, it's not downtown with the others, but I do wonder if that factors into considerations with the task force. And I have always wondered this, because just full disclosure, I worked overnight on the weekends at a hotel down the road. So we get a lot of people going to the ranch, coming back to the hotel. And I always wonder to myself, do we forget about the ranch? Not to single out the ranch, but because it's way out on Woodlawn Road.
So overall, you know, the University of Guelph, the city, Guelph Police Services collaborate beyond just the downtown. We have a number of initiatives that go out into the neighborhoods as well. You know, we partner and
private parties,
talk and stuff like that. So we you know, the agencies just don't focus on the downtown. There is more collaboration outside as well, and we work on initiatives outside just as within the downtown. So those, you know, we do cover stuff like that.
Because there's you're also thinking about private parties, I take it.
We have private parties. We have homecoming. We have a number of events that occur outside of the downtown that all the agencies get together as a collaborative approach to provide education and to address matters.
This is sort of moving away from the late night task force, specifically in the downtown core. But one thing that we introduced last year on homecoming and Halloween and St. Patrick's Day was a party registration program on campus. And we're going to run that this year through the fall and winter semester, and students every weekend will have it, and students can register their party. And really what they're agreeing to is having all of their information, so primary, secondary contact, and all the contact information shared with Guelph Police and City of Guelph. So if there's any issues at a party, the Guelph Police or bylaw officers can arrive and say, can I speak to so-and-so, that there's a representative, and there's more of a relationship that's established. And it also includes, before a party is approved in the registration program, students would have a meeting with off-campus living, and if it works out each week, we have a bylaw officer or police representative there who talks to students who are hosting parties outside of the party environment about, you know, here are some handy tips to have a safer party, to crowd control, who are you inviting to your party, and all those conversations in a much more relaxed setting. And students also get to meet a police officer, a bylaw officer, in an informal setting and realize that, you know what, these guys, these workers are approachable, and they're just as approachable when they arrive at a party if that's the case. So.
Right. And it helps the bylaw officer know who's who in terms of...
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what we find is we rather address the issues before they arise, right?
Sure.
So, you know, the ultimate goal is that the resident or the student has an event and it's enjoyable both for them and their neighbors. And yeah. You don't have bylaw coming out and everything like that.
Right.
That's the success of the program.
Yeah, well, I know my philosophy always was if I have to call the police... It's gone too far. It's like I've lost control at that point, which is why I was always so hesitant to go that route. Let's talk about Safe Semester specifically, because I think that's perhaps the prestige program. I don't know if prestige is the word, but I mean that's sort of sets the tone for the semester. Can you talk a little about why you focus on the first few weeks of September versus perhaps doing something all year round, or just how that planning goes about for the first couple of weeks?
I'm sure that every stakeholder probably has a slightly different reason for why we focus on September, but I'll put out there my thoughts on that, and that's we tend to have larger groups downtown because the weather is great. Mm-hmm. People stay downtown longer because the weather's great. And the bar scene downtown, they're advertising and trying to get people in. It's a big time when students and people in the community reunite after a summer away or a summer off and connect. I also think there's setting a tone and talking about this is the environment downtown that we want to have. So how do we ensure that that happens? And September's the time to do it when everyone's back mm-hmm. in the community.
We also look at the success of September and say, okay, can we apply it in other means or in other ways? And last year, we enacted Safe Semester for Halloween because we expected a large crowds downtown. So that was something new compared to other years. So again, you know, all the stakeholders will determine what's the best and to see how it can be changed up.
Halloween was also on a weekend last year, so that was another.
So that was
good
one
reason.
Of the factors as to why we decided that. But again, we went beyond the normal September timeframe.
Well, you were talking earlier about how there are debriefs after a program is done. So, in terms of looking towards this September Safe Semester, what are some of the improvements being made, or is the program? Is it as smooth as it's going to be at this point, or is there still room for improvement?
One of the things from the city's point of view that we're looking at is a little bit better waste collection in the downtown following Safe Semester. In the past, you know, collection was done on the Monday following, so we're looking at whether or not there should be some weekend collection during September to alleviate some of the overflowing containers on the weekend. So that's something that we're looking at. We also looked at whether or not street closures are required Thursday and Friday and Saturday nights, and we found that no, last year was a good example that we could Friday and Saturday was more appropriate, so we'll probably keep to that. But that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at.
Okay. And there's discussion too with the late night bus and the contract that the student governments have with Guelph Transit of what nights does that cover, and the discussion of, okay, this year do we cover Halloween? It's not on a weekend. And so, yes, there's agreement, okay, we will add those extra late night buses on a Monday night for Halloween because that's a big night downtown. The road closure isn't happening, but those are discussions that we had with Guelph Police. Do you think we need a road closure? And so there's constant discussion each year based on the needs.
In terms of just the general ongoing challenges, you know, in terms of handling traffic, not even just Safe Semester, but all year long, what are some of the things you're looking at?
Well, police would probably be the best group to answer that. You know, they would identify some issues, and in the operations department would help close the roads and that sort of thing. So they're probably best to answer that. With respect to, from a bylaw perspective, you know, like during Safe Semester, we do have an increased presence in the downtown. Our staff from outside of the downtown come in and help out. We continue that, and we're able to react on that at any time. So we can move staff around as need be to address issues that they arise. So we would look at events or other items that are occurring in the downtown and determine, do we need to move around staff so that the situations are best addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And Safe Semester kind of gives us an idea of that. And you know what, we did this in here and everything like that, so it kind of helps us out through other events in the downtown.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, Doug, specifically about urination and getting more public washrooms, perhaps on a more year-round basis, because people don't seem to, I mean, nature calls, but I understand that this is, of perhaps the problems that are bylaw specific, this is maybe the major one.
So it is, it's one of those situations that we're looking at, and washrooms in the downtown is continuing to be looked at. During Safe Semester, we do bring in extra porta potties and place them strategically so that they can be utilized, and that's been going on for some time. But it is one of those matters that washrooms in the downtown we continue to take a look at. We do encourage people to utilize washrooms at the establishments that they visit rather than
the alley behind Red Brick Cafe. I understand that they're looking at public washrooms as part of the Wilson Street Parkade development.
Again, that would be
that's outside of your purview.
I know that they are, washrooms continues to come up in the downtown and is one of the items that the city staff are focusing on. But where it stands at this point in time, I can't comment on.
Sure. In terms of the logistics of your committee, I think people are, one of the reasons I wanted to do this was people are familiar with this thing called the Nightlife Task Force, that they're coming up with ideas about how to wrangle, for lack of a better word, all these people coming into the entertainment district on the weekend. But in terms of how you meet, when you meet, how these things are enacted, can you perhaps shed a bit of light on that?
So the group doesn't meet all year on a regular basis. There really is a focus around the fall.
Okay.
So meeting during the month of August is really the focus. The group really tries to take the approach of being less formal. So there aren't formal minutes taken. It's really, let's get together, talk about what the issues are, and let's really lay out how each of us can support and address.
It's a task force, not a committee.
That's right. There you go. Task force and not a committee. And then if all goes smoothly during the program, the Project Safe Semester, and then we see things running smoothly throughout the fall, then the group just kind of, a bit of feedback from everyone, but then it's a pause again until the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
the various agencies, the University of Guelph Police, bylaw, transit, we do continue to communicate and collaborate throughout the year on other items, and we do meet frequently to address matters that are citywide rather than just a downtown late night focus.
Right. There's the separate matter of actually enacting these ideas, which is joint operations, which we were talking about before we started recording. That's sort of where all these the different agencies, in terms of enacting what the task force comes up with, or the feasibility of what the task force comes up with.
Correct. The joint operations team often takes a look at what's being requested, and then we operationalize it. So the ones that are set up the road closures and communicate with the university and that sort of thing. But it goes beyond just late night downtown issues. We look at issues citywide and come up with this collaborative approach to address the concerns.
Mm-hmm. And the Joint Operations Committee meets regularly throughout the entire year.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps to wrap up, if there are concerns in the community that people are worried about, perhaps not necessarily in the downtown, but even in their own neighborhoods, who do you refer them to in terms of if people have concerns about students partying, the problems that go with that, and, you know, where should they turn and who should they talk to?
So I think if people have concerns about an immediate concern about something that's happening in the moment, like a party, a noise right. complaint, a public urination, those are calls that go into the Guelph Police non-emergency number.
Right.
And then from there, bylaw officers, the Guelph Police officers are dispatched. And that always, I think, is the best call to make.
Go ahead, Doug. Do have a one-stop number, which is 519-837-2529. Residents may call that. And what it does is breaks out their call. So whether or not it's a noise call or if it's a waste issue or if it's even an inquiry about parking, they have the opportunity to choose a concern. And, for example, if they call in, the first one is noise. So if you have a noise concern, they ask you to press 1. Once you press 1, you're actually reconnected or directed to the Guelph Police Service, and they're able to take the call. The other option is to record or report a lot of these concerns online. At the Guelph.ca, there's the How Can We Help You pages, which allow residents residents to make inquiries or report concerns online. And we also have an app that you can do from your mobile phone, which is 311 GIS. Again, it allows residents to voice concerns or make inquiries. They're also able to actually track the calls for service that we do utilizing that app.
Do you know when we're going to learn, when they're going to announce it's the safe semester for this year? I imagine that's probably out of your control. That's in communications hands now.
Oh, in communications. I know that they're currently working on a press release. So okay. it will be out to informational day shortly. I think there's some final pieces that need to be confirmed around busing and a few pieces. Once that's all confirmed, the press release will go out.
Well, that's perfect.
Wanted to add, when Doug was giving numbers, that if people do have concerns in the community about the university off-campus behavior of students, they're welcome to contact me directly. And my number or my extension on campus is 56276 if people are contacting the university.
And further to that, we do meet often. So if we had, like we've said, is that there's an issue, that we take a collaborative approach, because bylaw may not be the appropriate solution. It may be some input from the University of Guelph or Guelph Police Services or another agency that may actually resolve the issue. And our goal is to address the issue so that both those that are having the party or whatever and those around it are both enjoying themselves.
It's a team effort.
It is.
Absolutely.
Well, Doug Godfrey, Catherine Hoffer, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, that was Doug Godfrey of the City of Guelph and Catherine Hoffer of the University of Guelph Off-Campus Living. You can reach Godfrey with your concerns at 519-837-2529, and you can get in touch with Hoffer at 519-824-4120, extension 56276. To learn about the city's noise or nuisance party policies, you can visit the City of Guelph website at guelph.ca/how-can-we-help-u/noise-law-enforcement. That link will also be on the show notes page for this podcast, just so you don't have to frantically write all that down. If you want to get in touch with Student Life, you can go to studentlife.uoguelph.ca/OCL. And that's all for the Guelph Politicast this week. The music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson. There is also a Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And as with every week, thank you to everyone who has donated so far. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.